beloved congregation, we read in Exodus 32, verse 15, that when Moses, the man of God, came down from the Mount Sinai, that he had in his hands the two tables of stone. And you know that on those two tables were written the holy law of God, the Ten Commandments. And with those Ten Commandments in his hand, he came down from that mount as a proof, not only for him, but for that whole nation, for Israel. Those Ten Commandments were given to regulate their life. It is not my intention to speak more about that law to you in this evening. That means not in that sense as we read about it in Exodus 32. But well, there is in that text one thing that I will emphasize with you and to you, and that is this: that Moses, he was for 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord and in his presence and in his communion. That man, you can well realize that a little, that man, he had a wonderful time. Such long days and nights in communion with God. You read it of no other person in the world that have received that privilege as Moses. But now the question that is, what we have to learn out of that text for ourselves, if it was true and if it was right in this morning, then God's people, that was also on the mount, because that is written by the prophet Isaiah in the 25th chapter, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fair things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. When it is the Lord's Supper, that this for God church a point in the life and a time that is very excellent, that is of a great meaning, because it is a place where the Lord will meet his people. It is a place where the Lord will reveal himself, where he will speak to his people. It is a place where the Lord will renew his covenant with his people, but also that people shall renew the covenant with the Lord. This very important, but 'tis always for a little while that people is there. When Christ was on the mount with Elijah and with Moses, then Peter said, "Lord, it is good that we be here. Let us build 3 tabernacles." But of course, that goes not through there, and that shall never go through, even here in this world. That people that come there in truth and uprightness, that have to come down from that mountain again, and then they come down in himself. They come down into the wilderness. They come down in a world and a life that is full of strife and of afflictions. It is here in this world never perfect. It is never perfect in the church too. For some, I hope from the bottom of my heart, was it good to be there in this morning. I hope that they may share in the fruit of the merits of Christ. But there shall be other people even sitting here in this evening with us, very disappointed. There shall be some amongst us for whom it was and it is a very hard day, hoped that the Lord would give an opening, but no freedom and no liberty. And then of course the devil come in between and he made the life also in a day as is this, he makes the life bitter. But I hope that the time may come for that people that the Lord loosed their bands asunder. And those that came here without ground, that the Lord uncovered them before that it is too late, and that it shall be too late forever. That in the midst of the congregation was given a deep impression about the blessedness of God's people that here in this time received the blessings of the Most High God, and that receive, even that it is not every time when it is the Lord's Supper, but that they receive provision on their pathway through the desert, and wilderness of this world then, but it shall be for that people that here have received a marriage garment, and that soon shall enter in that marriage feast to sit there with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob forever and forever. And now it is still the day of salvation, and especially if we from our early days have lived under that truth, as you were privileged and under so many callings and admonitions from the Lord. What shall it be when that shall testify against men in the day of days? But still it is here, the time of conversion and salvation, and it can still be the time that the Lord grant unto us a crumb fallen from this master's table. Now I come back to what I will say to you in this evening, and what I have to say to you in this evening. Moses came back from that mountain with the two tables in his hand. And that was, as I told you already, to regulate his life and the life of God's people. We have to show that we are true partakers of the Lord's Supper. We have to show that in our conversation and in our daily life. My text for this evening is in Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 16. Romans 14, verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. This verse. We have in our text a serious exhortation or warning. That exhortation that speaks about or of a great privilege, it speaks of a great danger, and it speaks of a great responsibility. Luther, in his explanation about this 14th chapter of Romans, wrote above that the contents of the 14th chapter, the apostle admonishes those that are strong in the faith not to despise the weak, nor to give them offense, but to build them up in the spirit of peace. That is the contents of that chapter. There were in the congregation of Rome several people with a strong faith. Several, I would say to you this evening, that you may understand that better and easier. There was many people that had in that congregation the assurance of faith. You cannot find it also in Romans 8, where Paul speaks of the privilege of those that were established in the faith. But still, there were in the congregation also people who had not such a strong faith. Paul mentioned that people as people with a weak faith. We would say concerned people. And now there was in that church at that time a certain division, and that was especially in regard to eating meat, yes or no. My first point this evening was that serious admonition speaks of a great privilege. I shall read it out of my text to you. Paul said here, let not then your good be evil spoken it of. He speaks here about good as a privilege given to God's established people. And what was now that good that the Lord had given to that people? He speaks here not about a big measure of grace and of love, but he speaks only about your good. And now, out of the connection of the text this evening, we have to find out what Paul really means to say with that good that he had, with that people had received. I will explain it with few words, and then it shall also be easier for you, for most of you, to follow my sermon this evening. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Paul refers here to that freedom and that liberty that they have received through Christ Jesus. The same thing as that you read in John 8, verse 36, that the text said, if Christ had made you free, then you are really, truly free. And in Galatians 5, that the Apostle Paul, he said to the people, stand then in the freedom and in the liberty in which the Lord has placed you. There's that good that they have received that was the freedom and the liberty of the gospel. In other words, it was people who know the forgiveness of their sin and that they have received a right to eternal life. Your good. It was given that people as a gift from the Lord. Why not that other people? Why not that all that people have received that? But of course, in the first place, the Lord is free in granting his people the measure of grace. And in the second place, we are realizing time and again in the church that no one can accept anything than when it is given them from the Lord. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. I told you already, in those days there was many people established in grace. Many. That was later on also in the days of the persecution under the Roman emperors. There were 10 Roman emperors, you know that, out of the history of the church. And thousands have to die as a martyr. And out of the history of the martyrs, then you read time and again that also the Lord's children, even children and boys, had given the assurance of faith in their heart. In our days, then you have to say it is a wonder if you find in the church an established Christian. I told you this morning, but I was wrong. In the year, I'd say 43 years, but it is now, this week, 44 years that we were privileged as a minister to administer also the Holy Sacraments. But if I think back about that time that I was privileged to perform that work, then there were more clear people, established people, than that it is in our days. Some here sitting know that when we are visiting them in their homes and asking them time and again about it, that there are several, they say, it is hard to talk to for me. What shall I say? There is well a desire, but I don't know. That is an evidence that there is such a darkness in the church. And we have to appreciate to a certain extent that there is still in the church an impression that the Lord's Supper, that it is for God's people. I say not for established people, I only say for God's people. It is as well for the concerned as for the assured people. Because when Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, then those disciples were also standing before justification. They have no personal knowledge of that in their own heart. That came later on in their life. And later on they were privileged that the Holy Spirit sealed that privilege what was given in their heart. The main thing that this congregation If the Lord has begun a good work in our heart, the main thing that is, that there is in our heart and soul, a godly sorrow, and by times, a divine joy in God through Christ. That is the main thing, but we shall never be satisfied with that. We shall looking forward to be increased in the knowledge and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. To make my text clear this evening, I will not say something else to you. The life between living under the law, then that we are freed from the law. That means not free from the law, that we can live a wicked life. No, not in that respect. But walking in the precepts of the law with our whole heart, with love and with joy. Because God's people had that privilege that the Lord is writing his law and upon the tables of the heart. But you can realize the difference between, I hope, that I talk not above your head this evening. I hope that I can make it so simple and so clear that each and everyone can follow it. But now, if we are living under the law, I shall not say different. If we are inwardly not done with Moses, you can follow that. If we are not done with Moses, then Christ and the benefits of his mediatorial work are not established in our heart. As long as we live with Moses and under the law of Moses, then we have a very hard life. We have to do this and we have to do that. Then Moses, he is a man that knows no mercy. There's only wrath and anger. Cursed is everyone that not remain in the law. Our life under the law and under Moses, that is a hard life for men. There is well some sweetness of the gospel in our heart, but still we are missing that freedom and that liberty that there is in the communion and unity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, in regard to eating meat, now that established people that was free from the law, that could not live a wicked life, no, but still they were for themselves no more bound to the laws of the ceremony as that people was in the Old Testament. And still that people that was well living in the New Testament, but for whom that it had never become the New Testament. In our days, to give you an example, in our days, in most of the churches, everybody goes to the Lord's Supper. They are all invited to that. They, most of them, come there. It is an exception that they remain seated. But on what grounds, we don't know. Because it is cold and it is dead. And when it comes to the point what they know about sin and about grace, then they have to say nothing. I cannot give you examples of people that not so long ago were sitting here in the church by some occasions, and that afterwards that I heard about it, about their impressions. One time I preached about it through confession on a Sunday morning, and there were some that say to the children, for years and years I never have heard the necessity explained and emphasized of the true confession. And there is such an ignorance about the way of grace in general. Therefore, parents, please, stay with your children under the true and right doctrine. My time is maybe short. I think so. In regard to my age, it cannot last so long. But then, many times I think, what shall it be after that we have to leave the congregation? Not that the Lord is not the Almighty God, and that He can send servants to us, but the explaining of the doctrine and the expounding of the way of salvation and what is necessary to know. You see, it goes down time and again. And especially the rising generation that is coming up now. What do they know about it? In general, it is world. How many are lost, are ready for the truth? And those children, they never hear about the necessity that men must be born again, and shorter or longer time, I am not make that out, people, no. Keep that in your mind. I will not make that out, how long that we have to live under the law and under Moses, but there shall be a time that we live under that yoke, that we are living under that burden, till that it please the Lord. As we read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, where the Spirit is, there is liberty. And now that people there, that established people there in Rome, that could eat everything. That other people could not do that, because that ceremonial law for himself, that was not abolished. Christ had abolished that when he died on the cross, but congregation, and please keep that in your mind, it had to be personally abolished in our own heart. Shall we be placed in the liberty of the gospel as it is in Christ Jesus? Maybe I cannot say it in shorter words, briefly. As long as Moses is behind us, then it is a very hard life. But as soon as Moses died, and that he came in contact with that second man, with the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, then everything that become different in our life. Christ himself, he spoke about that in Matthew 11, and there he said in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, that I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. There, when he come under the gospel people, then our life that becomes so different. We see all the things different as that we have seen it before. In other words, when we receive a solution in Christ, in him as a son of God, in him as a mediator of the church, in him as a surety of the church, as a savior of the world, that is as prophet, as priest, and as king, then we have received so much of it. Bonar, he wrote in one of his books about Brainerd, you have heard about that man. He wrote about him, and he was a very God-fearing man, but Bonar wrote, he said, if Brainerd had in his life more light in the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ, then his life had been easier. Think about such a statement, people. Think about such a statement, that that old minister that he had, that he had observed that in the life of that Brainerd, that he had not so much of the priestly offers in his heart. The opening through that great high priest to the Father, through his blood and through his righteousness, this congregation, let it be enough. What I have told you this evening, what the meaning is of your good, that that people was standing in the freedom and in the liberty of the gospel. Thus, they could eat what they want. Paul, he said in some place, all that is sold on the meat market. Let I say it in my words. He had no more to make a difference between a pig and between a cow. That's the difference. There's now that established people, I say that now, I use that expression, that you can realize because, oh yeah, I hear time and again comes place that I talk to high, that the people cannot follow this too bad, because I am thinking that I come so low as I can. But if you can now buy, if you can now eat from a pig or from a cow, that is the same thing. Or then you can realize you have not to ask this, the butcher, is that from the pig or is that from the cow, right? But now there was people that would never spend 5 pennies in the butcher store for one piece of meat of a pig. Never. And now Paul, he said here in my text, I read it again. Paul, he said here in that text this evening, let not then your good be evil spoken of. This, there is a text in the Bible that Paul said, if I offend my brother, I shall not eat meat to all eternity. That was a hard job, you can realize that, if it is so good. But Paul, he would sacrifice and he would deny himself. Now you take maybe this to your, the language says maybe and maybe to on the level, but if now that established Christian was standing in the storm, and that weak one was also standing in the storm, and then he saw that strong man in faith buying so much meat, and he would spend not one penny for it, because he was so afraid to eat any meat, then you can realize what an offense that it was. And of course, now the text that speak well literally about meat, but it refers to the whole conversation and conduct of God's people. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. In my words, show that you are a child of God in your daily life. That is the meaning. And now, in an hour of reflection as it is in this evening, we have to realize, congregation, that we have to be careful in our conduct here in the world. In other words, if we are living and then we are partakers of the Lord's Supper, if you cannot see any difference in life, also in daily life, between God's people and the world, yeah, God's people, that they call themselves God's people. But then you cannot realize you give an offense. Let not your good be evil spoken of. You have to realize they were in the church and in the city of Rome, that there was people with a weak faith under the law, but there were also heathens in the city. And now God's people, that is the advice that Paul gives here, God's people that have to live in such a life and in such a conduct that God's poor people have no offense upon their life, and that the heathens, that they not would say, oh, is that now that man that goes to the Lord's table? Is that now that man that is fighting for Christianity? He has shown nothing of it in his life. You cannot realize the way is so small, so narrow, that leads to heaven, that God's, that there is always such a great danger, because even when we have ground to come to the Lord's table, even when we have a divine right to receive from the Lord, still we stay and we remain sinners. But we have to realize that our life, that it must be in the fear of the name of the Lord, that our life must be different as that it is of the world, and different as that it was before. We have, in regard to the Lord's Supper, we have to realize and to live in not only that Sabbath day, but all the days of our life, the preciousness of the covenant of grace in which the Lord had taken us up, that we show that in our life, that great privilege given unto us, and then it shall be easy to show that in our life, that we are no more belong to the world, but that we belong to God's people. And that there is an impression amongst the people, that man, that woman, that is different than other people. You can see it in the light. The talk is different. Their walk is different. They are not walking on the street and in their houses with men's clothes. No. You cannot realize that. That is not God's people. No. Because they have respect for God and for His word and for His testimony. And then the life that must be after that they go to the Lord's Supper, that must be a sacrificing life, that must be a dying life, dying to the world and to all the things of the world. And there must also be an honoring of the Lord. You read about David in Psalm 116, that he said, "What shall I render the Lord for all His benefits bestowed upon me?" And as David said in Psalm 23, that his cup was running over, that they can realize it, that the Lord is their portion, that the Lord is their strength, that they have knowledge of the grace of the Lord in their heart, knowledge of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, even that it is not all applied to their heart people, but that they are still not strangers of that grace that the Lord reveals to that people. And therefore, let not your good be evil spoken of, that they never the name of the Lord blaspheme on account of our conduct, but that we show by the grace of the Lord and by that strength that the Lord the Most High gives us in our life, that we show to whom that we belong and whom that we will serve. Yeshua, He said, "Even me and my house, we shall fear the Lord. We shall walk in His ways." That was a public confession that man made. And that was not in his own strength, because that other people that said, "We shall also serve the Lord," but they say it in their own strength. And then Yeshua, He warned them, and He said, "Oh people, you shall be so disappointed, and the Lord shall be disappointed. You cannot fear the Lord." But if it is right, we were singing that out of 336 in this evening, "I have followed truth in the event of David," and that is what lays upon the bottom of the heart people, and that remains there all the time, as we sing that now in 290. "O Lord, remember me in grace, let me salvation see. In grace Thou showest to Thy saints, that grace revealed to me." 290:4-5. no congregation, but in great responsibility is laying for God's people here in this world and in the life, especially also after the Lord's Supper. We start this evening with saying about David, about Moses, when he came from that mountain with the two tables of stone in his heart, in his hand. And that was now his delight, to walk in the ways of the Lord. That is a desire of all those that have that new life in their heart. Alles before God and before men, hating sin, fleeing from sin, that it become an article in our daily prayers, people, in our daily prayers, that God's name shall never be blasphemed on account of our life, but that the Lord give us grace to walk that other ones, be jealous, not about that man itself, but about the fear of the Lord that they reveal in his life. You read that in the Word of God, in Zechariah 8, that the Lord of hosts said, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities, and inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. That it gives so much impression, that it brings us on our knees, and that we say, Lord, I see in the life of that man that he is fearing the Lord and that he is walking in his ways. That it made us jealous, people, that there is so little of it in our days, that is our fault, people. That is our fault. We have not to blame the world for it, but we have to blame ourselves. There were other times in the life of God's people. I speak now of some in this afternoon in the Holland service, for years are gone already now, but that there was so much impression in such villages and places, that everyone that know that woman, that man, that boy, that is fearing the Lord and that is walking in the ways of the Lord, you see him not on a carnival, you see him not in the tents of wickedness, you see him not in those places of idleness, no, you see him in the church, you see him with God's people. You can realize that people that had a different life, that have a different desire, that have something else in their life, that have something that the Lord has wrought in the soul. The Lord made a difference from all eternity, and he made a difference here in this time. And therefore, people, if our life is as the life of the world, it cannot be go together. Jehoshaphat, a God-fearing king, once he brought himself in temptation and in a great danger, he shake hands with that wicked king Ahab, but the Lord came against him Ahab died in the battlefield, and he, in the hurry, could go out to escape his life. But he had learned something out of it, because the Lord chastises his people when they go wrong ways. And if they walk in the fear of the Lord, then they shall receive the good of the Lord, that he shall, if you read in Psalm 84, that he shall not withhold that from his people. The time is gone, I shall not keep you longer for this evening. But I hope, congregation, that explaining of the word of God in this evening, that there be a blessing for young and old, for great and for small. For whom amongst us shall it be the last time that we have seen the Lord's table and supper administered amongst us? Tis possible for me, and it is possible for you. And how shall we now meet the Lord? Not on the ground that we go to the Lord's table, but well that Christ is our portion, and that he is our only foundation for time and for eternity. Young and old, great and small, oh, that all the warnings and admonitions, that it not harden, that it not harden, harden our hearts, people. Oh, appreciate the privilege that the Lord still give you to live under the true doctrine and under the true word of God. I hope that it be to the conversion of sins, to the salvation of lost sins, to the exaltation of Christ, and that it shall be above all to the honor of the Lord in heaven. And people for whom it is a day of sorrow, a day of disappointment, oh, I hope that in this coming night that the Lord reveal himself, that he would say, I am here, I am the Lord your God, that he bring it to a solution, children of God, even that you came in obedience to the command of the Lord, but that you say it was not as with the men of Emmaus that the Lord revealed himself in the breaking of the bread, but it can be in this week, it can be in this coming night, seeking souls. Be not in doubt, because one day, when it is through a yard, one day the Lord shall come, and he shall reveal himself, but give himself away to his own soul too, and children of God, that our conversation be in heaven, to expect our Savior and Mediator, and to be with him, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob there, where we have never to come back to this earth, and in ourselves, but that we shall be always with the Lord. Amen. Lord, bless the words spoken in this Sabbath day and in this evening hour. Apply it by thy Spirit to our hearts, young and old, great and small. Remember the whole congregation with elders and deacons. Remember the families in the week that lay before us. Spare and protect us. Also those that are building on our church, made it further and well met everything. And prepare us together to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. And hear us for thy great name's sake, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 24. Who, O Lord, with thee abiding in thy house shall be thy guest. 24. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.